Welcome to the Mary Mac Show, where we will be talking about your feelings, experiences, and pain following the death of a loved one. Hello, my friends, my warriors. This is Mary Mack of The Mary Mack Show. I have the distinct privilege to have Andrea Thomas with me today. Now, Andrea and I were able to speak last summer, and we spoke about her daughter, Ashley, and her death by fentanyl poisoning. And Ashley is survived not only by Andrea, her mother, but her father, and also her son, who Andrea and her husband take care of. His name is Daniel, and Daniel will be going to high school this year. So he's really sprouted up since 2018 when Ashley died of poisoning. So today, I'm grateful that she's with me because I want to speak about what's going on in Washington. She was recently at a hearing there, and I've asked her to come on to give us more information on what that's about. But first, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to please subscribe, rate, review, and like this podcast and share it with as many people as you can on social media so more people are aware of what's going on with the fentanyl crisis in our country. So thank you so much, Andrea. I'm so grateful you're here. And the one thing I do want to mention, one of her great accomplishments is last year for the first time on August 23rd. Is that correct?
August 21st.
21st, my apologies. So August 21st of every year now, we have Fentanyl Awareness Day. Is that what you would call it? Is that the exact terms?
The exact term is Fentanyl Prevention and Awareness Day, August 21st. So
excellent. So last year, a whole group of people who are building awareness around fentanyl poisoning, Andrea invited them to New York City and in Times Square at the Bow Tie, that's what we called it. It's where two avenues cross each other in Times Square. And there she had a wonderful gathering and press conferences to let as many people as possible be aware of what's going on. So I'm so excited for her to have this day, this official day every year. And in New York, they'll be there again this year, but there are such programs, or I should say events, that are going to go on all over the country on the same exact day, which is phenomenal. So thank you for doing that. That's so fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me today. You know, this day, this August 21st day, started just with a marketing tool. I think we talked about that last year. And the families have taken this day and elevated it to a much higher place to share awareness all over the nation on that day. We've been, you know, very blessed to have the support of the federal law enforcement agencies, first being DEA, coming in to support families on that day. And, you know, now we have CBP and Homeland Security and many of the other federal agencies assisting. And that's very important to me because at that level of government, they are acknowledging this crisis, and that's what our families have been pleading for all of these years.
Yes.
And then the Senate, you know, signing that resolution unanimously for this day. And we know that they're at least seeing what the problem is. We know there's a lot of work being done in Washington, not as fast as our families would like to see, but the acknowledgement that we have lost so many and the support to families by signing this is, you know, something that I hold very dear in my heart. And thanks for all these families that support this day and really come together. It's a day for all of us, a day for Americans to share this message. So this year we hope to amplify our message even more in Times Square. It's really about a press conference to reach all of America while our families are having these events every place. And CDC helps with the messaging, and again, the federal agencies and local and state agencies. And so every year it has a stronger effort, and I'm anxious anticipating what this year will look like.
And a greater impact too.
Yes.
You know,
just our voices
and the more people that are developing plans for that day all over the country. I mean, that is an amazing feat. You should be so proud.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We know that, we chose this location because it's the crossroads of America, right? It's the apple, the heart of the city for New York. And we're going to the people. And so many times when we have events, we have to draw people in, right? And there is never a lack of bodies.
That's very
people
true.
Ready to listen. And so this year, I know that there are many more families attending, and it's not a long event. There are other rallies in the nation that our groups hold, other organizations have, and they're all day events, and they happen in many places. And this is such a short event with, there are going to be some other events happening in that time frame in the city now that we'll be adding to, but they want to participate in that hour and a half, 2 hours of time in Times Square. And so I love that. I love that. And I appreciate them so much for supporting.
That's phenomenal. I know it's just going to be great. And we'll do everything we can to let more people know about as the day comes close to.
Thank you so much. We have a lot of families this year, of course, new families, right? Or families that have even been on this journey for a couple of years, but have never reached out to advocate, not knowing where to start or what tools they should use. And so recently we started a program through Project Facing Fentanyl, where we put everything together for these families to easily access for free and to have the materials they need that are fact-based to go to their schools, town halls, their HOA, wherever it is, their workplace, and share this information to bring awareness to other people. And I'll tell you, as soon as we put that out, we've trained about 150 people to date, and in the just a month of time, and they're so interested and they're working so hard. And I just am a believer that this issue would not be to the place that it is with the media or our Congress or any place else if it weren't for the voices of our families. And so I continue to applaud them on the work that they do to try to save other people.
I totally agree. It's a daunting task, to do that and to just develop all the information that someone would need. So.
Exactly. And we saw some of that with the China Select hearing, right?
Yes,
and,
exactly.
Them coming to DC to hear this very important information that many of us already had. We were recently there. I'm probably jumping ahead without you bringing the subject up, but that is where many families came in to DC for that hearing. And I think that for some of them that didn't have a lot of these details, it was very enlightening, very sad. It was a long day and hard for many of the families.
Can you show us the pictures that we spoke about?
Sure. Let's
see. I want people to understand, first of all of these families, and even though there were quite a few in the picture, there's a lot more that were there. These families have taken it upon themselves to spend all this money to fly into DC from wherever they are in the States. At their own cost. So they spent the flight, they spent the hotel, they spent the food, whatever else they needed to be there for. Were they there for a day or two at least?
Yes, the evening. Are you able to see the screen now, Mary?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So that's exactly. These families use their own resources to attend these types of events.
Yeah.
And we put an ask out. The China Select Committee asked us if we would work with them to reach families to bring them in for this hearing. And we put out the information and the timing, it was a long time before we had a confirmed date. And so people were holding on to the last minute and they still did it. You know, they came in, they flew in, got their own rooms, did all of these things, and were there for the support of each other, those in the room, and also supporting families across the nation. And again, I applaud them for being there and being so strong in such a difficult conversation. You'll see this picture that has just half of the families, right? There were so many more. They just happened to take this picture later in the day. And it was a historic event, we felt, we knew a lot of the information already, but we were glad that this hearing was putting the information out to all of America
And
and letting
exposing
them
it,
know.
like you said,
Yes.
hearing exposing it, because we in the background knew this, but now it's out there, and it's out there from the committee. And I thought we have to talk about this.
Most definitely. And you'll see some of the participants that testified, all of them that testified, Bill Barr and Ray Donovan and a gentleman from RAND with a very important report that many of us have seen and gone over in the last years since we lost our children. And they were very gracious too. Of course, Ray and Bill Barr stayed around to speak with the families.
Wow.
And we always get that input from DEA. So, that's not unusual for Ray Donovan to sit and have conversations with the families, but Bill Barr doing the same and answering more questions for us. And then, of course, this wonderful committee that was so gracious to work with our families and empathize with our situations. They handled everything with such grace and were so caring for our families. They gave us a pre-briefing, an after briefing, and let us ask questions, let the families ask questions. And for
Wow,
some
that's
families,
great.
it was the first time that they were in a setting like this. And so it meant a lot to them. And so this committee has given us a promise that as far as they can go with this, they will continue to work and are still working with Facing Fentanyl for some other events throughout the year. So we're very grateful that they had this hearing and included us. One thing I have to tell you is that there was not, and the press that we saw for that day, every national newscast and paper picked up the event, but they did not pick up the photos of the families that were in the audience at the hearing. So we still didn't get that visual right. And I think that would have been important for Americans to see
Yes.
that this has people that have not been affected by fentanyl yet. I wish they could have seen all of the families' faces.
Yes. Can you
So that was something
remember?
missing.
But
Pardon
see,
me.
there's some, you're right there in the middle.
Yes. There were many families, a packed room.
Yeah.
And everyone's photographs. And so we are grateful that it reached out, it reached all of those national news stations. And so next time we hope that they will be able to see some of the families, but the acknowledgement of this committee, and then, there was a congressman. Jimenez that did address the families and tell them that their government had our government had let them down.
Wow. Where is he
In
from?
this
Do you
issue,
remember?
I don't. I have to look that up. He spoke at our press conference after, as did a couple of the other committee members, and Mike Garcia from California and Kim Glass from the National Textiles Association came in, and because de minimis is another issue, of course, in this national security crisis, and many of us work the de minimis issue. which
Tell
is
people what
the
that is.
shipping.
Tell
De
people.
minimis, the de minimis loophole is something many of us have been working because it is the shipping of goods from China into the US that are not reg anything under $800 does not have to be searched. And so this is trade that comes into the US many times, dangerous drugs, fentanyl, other precursors, other dangerous drugs are in these packages and they're not searched. And this is just another way that fentanyl floods into the United States. So we have land, sea, and air, right? We're talking about an open border and then our legal borders where these drugs still come through. And then by mail and all of the other ways that it's getting into the country. So we work this de minimis issue to try to sort that out and help stop some of these drugs that are coming into the US.
And what about by mail? Because when Angela was killed, there actually was a guy, the person who was accused of her killing, he had sent steroids in bulk to a gentleman up in Massachusetts. And at that point, I guess, I can't remember their postal police, I guess you would say, was trying to get involved because that gentleman OD'd on those steroids. And so for us, it was through the mail as well. So is there a lot of, or is the postal police or the postal service involved in fentanyl being shipped by just regular mail?
Yes, I think that many packages are still targeted. You know, many packages get pulled, but there's no prosecution in these cases, right? There's nowhere to store all of these packages as evidence. So that's one issue. And then these packages that come over from China are not being searched. And I'm a logistics manager myself. That's part of my job at the company that I run. And I know how easy it is to ship back and forth. There are not a lot of regulations for overseas shipping or things coming into the US. And so we need to address that and try to stop some of these just click and ship things. You know, it's very easy for our kids to look and find these dangerous products, these poisons online, and it's just simply a click and they're delivered to our home. And in many cases, in most cases, of course, you know, your parents don't even know, you know, that you've ordered something and it's shipped to your home. So it's very easy for somebody to receive these drugs just right in their house, very with one click. So we've got to address that. And hopefully, with some of the work that we've seen recently, some of the legislation passed, the work with the China Select Committee and now the Fend Off Fentanyl Act and other legislation. There's over 3,000 pieces of fentanyl legislation out there right now. So we're hoping to see some of this legislation pass and make some positive difference on this crisis.
Without a doubt. As we all know, the government hasn't done enough as quickly as we felt they should. And I'm very grateful to hear that this committee has at least been so engaged and so graceful, to the families when you were there a few weeks back. And did they affirm that this is all coming through China?
Yes. And so many of the things they discuss, like the taxation and the grants that the CCP is giving to these chemical companies, these are facts that have been out there for a long time. This is just the way that it is run in China. And so these are things that many of us have known. I have known this personally since I lost my daughter and in doing research that there were incentives given to these chemical companies. And so, for me specifically, 6 years later, to hear this from a congressional committee, it makes me wonder what has taken so long. And I, although I am thankful to this committee for bringing this to light, it does concern me that we've gone so long through three administrations. You know, this is truly a bipartisan issue. And sometimes it turns political because of a current administration or the administration before, but truly we've gone through two parties and three administrations. And the fact is that this hadn't been addressed strong enough. And so now we are in a situation where we have to take really strong action. And our families are urgent to see this happen because so many people are dying.
Yeah.
So I really hope that the investigation through the China Select Committee can make a difference. And I think that as families and the American public has to act on this now and press Congress, because if we don't, this will just be another hearing that gathers dust and is soon forgotten.
Right.
And the fentanyl deaths are not stopping. And so we really should take this to heart, this information to heart, and use it for all we can to make some change.
And so just for our audience's knowledge, what we understand is that the leadership of China, if I'm getting this correct, please correct me if I'm not, he allows his own manufacturers in China to develop this product, but he will not allow them to sell it in China.
Exactly. And there was a very dramatic moment inside that hearing that day where one of the staffers that were sitting behind Congressman Gallagher held up a sign, and it showed the number of deaths in China versus the number of deaths in the United States in 2021.
Oh my
and
goodness.
China had a big red zero under the number of deaths for that country. And ours had over 77,000 for the United States. And that was 1 year, a few years ago, a couple of years ago. And of course, you know that the numbers, I hate even saying numbers, right? Because those are our
children,
our sons and daughters and mothers and fathers that have died. But, you know, it's staggering to think about this. And
it's
how
well over 100,000 a year now.
Yes. And to think that the country that these dangerous precursors come from, that for that number to be zero, and so many Americans lost, unsuspecting, of course, many unsuspecting, many experimenting, and many already suffering from some type of substance use disorder. But nonetheless, each one of those lives was just as important as the one before it. So we really have to look at this, and the national security crisis, the health, the public health crisis, and now the humanitarian crisis that this is causing. I feel like the longer this goes on and the longer our government does not act appropriately, I mean, we're acting, but very slowly, very deliberate. There's a lot of talks going on, and we really need to address this strong now, as far as China is concerned, and Mexico too, because they also play a part in this.
Yes.
But we're becoming complicit, I think. I think, you know, we are now taking part in inaction.
Yes.
And that's not okay. So we've really got to, anybody listening to this, I would urge them to reach out to their senators or any leader that they can get to in their state, their congressmen, and so on, to express their concern and ask what they're doing, and of these candidates that are coming up. Getting close to an election. We're in an election year, and I think these questions are very important to ask of the people that are going to take these seats in this next year.
Yes, I don't see an awful lot of candidates speaking about this. Some do. I've heard, you know, occasionally I hear some, but it's not as dramatic as in their minds. It's not as, you know, it's not as a dramatic issue as we know it is, you know. And I think people don't understand that. I think we have something like 40 something thousand murders a year in our country versus 100,000 for fentanyl, you know. And there's when you look at the number of deaths For all the other ways that people die in our country, fentanyl is by far, I mean, astronomical limits. And
Yes, and we always talk about that number 18 to 45, and we should be talking about that number, but what we fail to talk about in many cases are the young people that are dying that are 14 and under. That death in the last couple of years, last year the stat was that fentanyl deaths for 14 and under had tripled. 77% of drug deaths were from, or of teen deaths were from, were fentanyl related. And that's gruesome. That's
yes.
horrific. Those are our young people. This last couple of weeks, there were three infants that overdosed
Yes,
in
I heard.
Washington. And one that I know of that died from poisoning, but three unrelated cases of infants in one state. You know, that alone, without any of the other people that have died, those three alone would be cause for enough alarm to act swift and strong, right? And do something about this. And there's so many other, like I said, numbers, so many affected before these three babies. So, what's the magic number? What are we going to do before this is addressed at the top? We need our executive leaders, the executive branch of government, to address this.
Without a doubt. I mean, when you even look into wars, I mean, in Vietnam, we had around 55 to 58,000 that are on the wall in Washington, the Vietnam Memorial. And there's so many fentanyl deaths, there's not even room to put everybody's picture up in the DEA.
No,
I mean,
they've, that's exactly right.
and if we even tried to build a monument somewhere in DC, along the lines of, the World War II monuments, the Vietnam, and where all the names are, not so much in World War II, but in Vietnam, all the names are there. And I couldn't even imagine how far down the mall that would be. That
We often,
walls would be.
yeah, we often talk about all the banners that our organizations have, all the different organizations, and we have all of these memorial banners. And we tell people we could fill city blocks, and we don't have everyone's picture, right? We just have the ones that are sent in to us, and we could still fill city blocks with all of the banners our organizations have with all of these faces of people that we have lost. So, it's important for my organization that we reach youth. We want to reach everybody, but we really concentrate on reaching youth and people that don't know. Because every time someone shares this information, they could save a life, no matter how big or small. So we do things to encourage people just to share at least one time. And we're getting some, other. I think of them as American heroes, right? That are coming in and saying, how can we help? Because there was a point where we were going to law enforcement and saying, we need your help. Please listen, please listen, please listen. And now we have these federal agencies that are standing with us in this crisis. And we know that our legislatures are working fentanyl legislation. But now we're going to the public. And we have this plea. Please listen, please listen, please listen, right? Because we want you to know and we want you to share the message. So we've done some important things, I think, in the last few months. One of them was the American Trucking Association. They came to me last year and said, how can we help? We don't, we want to help. And we see that there are so many groups working together. And they liked that because they do that through their a Trucking Cares Foundation. And I thought, well, maybe they could put a magnet on these trucks or something, that could
Absolutely.
share the message, because we've seen that with other things. And they went 100 steps further by wrapping trucks and with our one pill can kill, one line, one time, our fentanyl messaging is on these trucks and they're hitting the highway. And they've made this campaign open to all trucking businesses. To be able to purchase these wraps at a discounted rate and help share these messages on the highways. And so that to me is, here is a prominent association that I would have never thought to go to on my own, right? For help. I would have never thought to go to the American Trucking Association, and they found us and they worked hard to put this campaign out there, and it will make a difference, I
Oh,
guarantee. And
without a doubt. Without a
the
doubt.
DEA even loves this type of messaging and has included us now in their DEA One Pill Can Kill community programs. And we're looking for more people like that that can really do something within their means that can affect so many people
Without a doubt.
before it happens to them, right?
Yes. But
So,
I do think that when people reach out like that, they know somebody who was affected, you know, or they know a family who was affected and they saw what they went through after the death and the agony and the incomprehensiveness of, like, how did this happen? We never even heard of this, you know. And like I always say, until it touches you, you don't have a clue what goes on or how your family's going to handle it. And it could just be like so many, especially the young ones, you know, just one time. Just one time.
So I think a lot of the and you're exactly right. One of the chairmen of the Trucking Cares Foundation shared a story with us, and he was very heartfelt about this issue, and it was personal to him. And so he saw the value in this campaign, and
Love.
they've been very helpful ever since. And so that is something that we're concentrating on. And we've been trying to get the message to the public always, right? That's been our goal. But now we're asking people to actually assist, for solutions, because there isn't a magic bullet to this. Of course, the head of the snake for us is the CCP. And I want to make very clear, right, that it is the CCP and not the people of China. We're not wanting to cause any hate by talking about this issue with China and Mexico. They're very specific groups that are causing this devastation, and they're transnational criminals, these cartels and governments that are complicit with these precursors shipping to our country, and governments that are also complicit in not attacking these cartels in their own countries. So I just want to make that point, because we are not trying to spread the hate of other people by talking about their countries, but this is a fact, and it needs to be addressed. So we are going to the public now to say, hey, before this affects you, and we've given you the information, but we want to know how you can help now too, because this is everyone's crisis. Fentanyl contributes to crime, death, the destruction of families. And I think so much about how many of us are out there that have lost someone, and all that grief. I think about that all the time. How heavy that must weigh on our society. I know our families that it's very, the people that I know personally, it's very heavy to live like that. And I wonder about the fallout to come in the years to come with young people, babies that are being raised by their grandparents, senior grandparents, right? That should be in the midst of their retirement, and now they're raising infants because one or more parents has died from fentanyl poisoning. All of these children without parents moving forward, and babies being born fentanyl addicted. What does this look like in these years to come, especially with the new emerging drugs, which I can't even imagine something more deadly than fentanyl already? And there really are. There are drugs, the nitazenes and the xylazines, that have no, the xylazine that has no antidote, and the nitazenes that are so much more powerful than fentanyl. If those drugs are 100 times more potent than fentanyl, does that mean our deaths are going to increase by 100% in the next coming years? Those are things I wonder about.
Or carfentanil too.
Yes.
I just want everybody to realize, just to give a little bit of background, it's being shipped from China in one form or another, and it goes down to Mexico. and it gets formed into pills with no quality control whatsoever. And from there, we don't know if any of those pills, sometimes they look just like sweet tarts, all different colors. And sometimes those pills have a little bit of fentanyl on one side of the pill and nothing on the other side of the pill. And sometimes those pills are completely fentanyl. And it's just a crapshoot as to which one someone might get. And you just don't know. And
And
from
we're
there,
losing upwards of 300 people a day. How is that even? I can't even comprehend that, right? I get these calls every day from people that are have just recently lost a child. And it's still shocking to me. And I'm sure they think that's crazy when I know so many families that have lost a child, but it really is. Everyone I am still just shocked by, because I can't believe we let this go on and on and on.
right.
This is really, we're past time to act, but this year for our campaign, it's educate, act, and prevent. And so all of those things are important. And if you can do any of those things, it can help save a life. And I would encourage you to do that and share this message with someone.
And the one thing that we will never know, I say, until we go to heaven, is all the people that weren't there because of all your great work. We'll never know how many people we affected for the better that didn't go and take any drugs that were illegal, or counterfeit, we'll never know that number, but I like to think that it was far more than the ones who succumbed to it.
Yes, and that's a good way to look at it. I was recently asked what we're finding now in our work, is that there are a lot of predators coming in. We have a lot of people wanting to gain off of our work and the death of our children. And so another gross issue, right? Another appalling issue. And
Like you really need to deal with this.
yes, exactly. When we left the China Select Committee, someone asked, "What now?" And the legislative team said, "Well, we need you to go back to your communities, right? And we need you to talk to your legislature, and we need you to talk to anyone that you can, so we can move forward on this." And if you didn't put that into perspective, it would almost be offensive, right? Because we've lost children. We've been through enough. And now we have to continue this fight to make more change, right? To make effect positive change. But the reality is, it's not just us. It's all American people that need to move forward and try to work this issue. So it wasn't specifically meant just for us. It was meant that all Americans should be dealing with this. We should all work towards solutions, and we should all be trying to help. So when we talk about these predators coming in, and we've worked so hard, and I can personally see a face of an angel. We call them our angels that we've lost, and I remember them. And I might not know their parents' face, but I remember our angels. And
Yes.
so many of us started doing this type of work just because because we lost a child. And then we learned about the thousands more, which are now hundreds of thousands more out there. And it motivates us to continue to work even harder to prevent that number from growing. And so when we see organizations coming in right now that are taking all of the hard work that these families have done, and then taking our stories and using them for gain, I find that appalling. And I'm sure that it happens with every issue out there that continues to grow, but that's something that we face right now. And so when you are thinking about contributing to organizations or working with an organization, I would really do your research
Yes.
and make sure that, they're not one of these predators. We've seen it in many forms, and it's something that we're combating right now. And so many of us that have worked very hard,
for
and
many
have gained
years.
credibility. Yes, and gained credibility and do work that's respectful not only of our children, but of everyone else's, are offended by some of this that we see coming in, for a lack of a stronger word, an
Totally
inappropriate word
understand, and you're right.
that I would not want to use on your show. But it really is. I mean, my goodness. So those are some of the things that we deal with on a daily basis, and just continue to move forward positively and with a smile on our faces, and work with other parents, you know, to try to get the message out there.
Wow. Thank you for this recap. Thank you for explaining everything that's moving forward in DC. That has been a long time in coming, but at least that hearing really, I mean, we knew it before, but most of the public don't understand all of the details on how, you know, it comes in. And like when you said, there are zero deaths in China from fentanyl where it's being produced with the okay of the government. I feel, I'm sure you do too, it's a, like Jim Rao says, it's a weapon of mass destruction.
Yes.
It is sent here to annihilate our youngest and brightest. And you know, when all the 14 to, 15 to I think 30 something you mentioned, all those, you know, children or young adults, they're all of beginning family life. You know, they're all ready to finish college. They're all ready to be married. They're all ready to have children and start, you know, families, and they've just been annihilated, washed away. I mean,
Yes.
and
Vanishing. I feel like they're
yeah,
vanishing before our eyes.
exactly. And that's an awful lot of people in that demographic. You can't get that back.
Exactly. When you and it's interesting that you brought up Jim Rao, because you know he advocates his issue is WMD, and such a strong one. And I'm sure that when he sits and listens to some of this, knowing that, you know, we talk about there's not one silver bullet to this, but there are a couple of bullets that really could make a difference, right? And his issue is one of them. Our issue, it's all of our issue, but that is something that could really make a difference. And so I would, as a plug for our families, almost as a plea, they are doing such good work everywhere. And so over the summer, not only will you see the National Fentanyl Prevention and Awareness Day in August, on August 21st, of course, that's 10 days before International Overdose Awareness Day, which many of us observe. We like to think of our you know, issue of poisoning, we call fentanyl dust poisonings, you know, and then working their way into the overdose awareness day. So that's important as well. And those are families that have been doing this for a very long time too, just with different drugs, right? Fentanyl is the drug of today. And then we have other organizations that are having rallies all through the summer, Appalled and LVOF and many other groups out there that are doing a lot of positive things. And so please, if you have any of these organizations in your area and can assist or attend one of their events or share their information, please do. They work so hard to get this out there and use all of their own personal resources in most cases. And so they're really doing good things. So I would encourage people in communities
And
to
I
look for
encourage
care.
if you have a few dollars and you want to donate to either Andrea's group, Voices of Aware for Awareness, or like April's group, LVOF, you know, and Appalled. There are so many organizations that could use your donations. So please, you know, If you need help finding them, just write us or write
Yeah.
Andrea. We'll
Yes,
be
and we have
happy.
lists of them. We
Yeah.
have ways to contact about 200 organizations on our facingfentanylnow.org website. We have a listing of organizations that all do wonderful work in different ways, and it's magnificent to see all the things that are done everywhere. We're going to be heading to Las Vegas this weekend to an APAUD rally there,
Wonderful.
and so we'll
Say
get to
hello
see
to
some.
Diane for me.
I will. She's coming in for that event. And so she does great work, of course, and family's putting up billboards. My own media team has, I don't even know what I would do without them. They're doing tremendous work. And so everyone out there really is, and they have so much to offer. So thank you, Mary, for giving us these opportunities as different organizations to come on and share what we're doing and really make a difference.
Thank you. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you.
And I support all your work and that of all the other organizations that are trying to make a difference and to help families, especially after the fact, because I go on social media now and again and I'll see a welcome post from a lot of people who,
Yeah.
you know, and that list, if you take and scroll down that list, oh my goodness. I mean, there has to be like 100 people just
Yeah.
then.
Yes.
I mean, I think to myself, all these families with such horrific grief right now, you know, it's not just the fact that somebody died. It's not a natural grief. It's a horrific grief, same as murder. And when you try to get your head wrapped around it, you just can't. You just can't because you feel like it's an unnecessary death. That's what I call it. Murder
Yes.
is murder is murder, whether it's with fentanyl poisoning or with someone being stabbed or shot or however they're murdered. They're still murdered. They didn't ask to be there. And there was another individual who decided to be reckless. And unfortunately, in the case, I mean, in homicide, there are like 60% of the homicides, and even lower in some places, that are even solved. And then you go to fentanyl, and we really don't have any statistics on how many of the perpetrators were actually caught and convicted? Very few.
Very few, and the same stories over and over, whether it is my son or daughter purchased a pill on Snapchat and I found them dead in their bedroom the next morning, or in my daughter's case, someone gave my child something and they didn't know what it was, or people that have started using, not even know, thinking they were using a what we used to call recreational drugs, right? Like cocaine 10 years ago, that weekend user or that one, that occasional user. And they are then immediately addicted from the substance because it wasn't what they thought it was. And it had fentanyl in it, which is all addicting, right? And so another force that has been so helpful for us is if, people in recovery walking with us. And, one of my partners is Michael Fiore, 20 years addicted to heroin, 3 years in recovery, and is an inspirational speaker now. And I see his work that he does with this recovery out loud, right? He talks about recovering out loud and to do that so that we can spare lives of others, right? And so the recovery community has been a huge assist in the work that we do. And so not only families, but the recovery community, and then so many other people coming in to help. So we are making great strides, but of course not large enough yet because we need that government response.
Well, it looks like from the committee, at least they were gracious, and
Yes.
you know, and I'm going to put, you have to help me find it. I want a list of all the different people on that committee,
Yes.
all the elected officials. You will see that in the show notes and a link to their sites because I believe credit should be given to those individuals. There's not enough individuals in Congress who have stepped up to the plate on fentanyl behalf awareness. And so I would like to make sure that they're acknowledged.
Well, that's wonderful. And I will share this site with you, and it has a lot of information. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of other people stepping up to the plate in Montana. Facing Fentanyl has been working with their attorney general for about a year and a half. And now our opioid reversal and education kits are going into all of their schools, thanks to their attorney general. Yeah, so about 500 schools will have to start, just to start, right? We'll have this school education and opioid reversal tools in their schools. And that's thanks to their attorney general, simply by a phone call from their office saying, what do we do? You know, and I value that. If you've done something that we see right now, that if you haven't addressed the fentanyl issue, okay. If you address it now and you move swift and you move strong, let's do it. Better now than later. If you don't know what to do, ask. We can help. We'll tell you if you don't know what to do. We've got a lot of issues we'll tell you about. So when their office came to me and said, what can we do? It just happened to be one of those days I was fed up of getting the phone calls, people dying one after another, right? Like, I'm just hearing all of this. And so when I received that phone call, I was very blunt, and they said, okay. And I will tell you that state has enacted a lot of the things that we suggested to them, and they are moving swift and strong. And I just think that's fantastic.
Then we have to give them credit too.
That is right. I do. I applaud them.
I'm sorry. What I really like is that now that their plan is enacted, we can take that and we can approach all the other attorneys general and ask them, do you want a plan? Here's our plan. It's already enacted. You just have to copy it.
Yeah. I mean, we let them know when they made that phone call. You know, kids don't go to pretty websites for the attorney general before they use drugs. So that's a waste of dollars. So, And so they listened, and they went to the youth, and they've been educating them in every way they can. And they've helped a lot sending, you know, the tribal, councils our way. And so we're doing a lot of work over there in Montana. I'm heading to Idaho this week as a result of some work done in Montana, that other tribes have heard about. So we're able to go there and we're able to educate them and get them started on this conversation and saving people.
Phenomenal.
We need more of that.
Yes, absolutely. Because that's something that could be done in every state.
Right. And especially in my state where they've not got it right yet. But if you just go back and work it again, I value that. You know, we don't always get things right the first time, but admitting it and going back and continuing to try to work it, I think is very valuable. And I'd much rather see that than no action at all. So
absolutely.
I hope we see more of it.
Oh, that's very good to hear. So good to hear. That warms my heart. Because now we have a plan of action that can be, you know, forwarded to everybody else if they're okay with that.
Solutions. Yes. And so and we invite people to come to the table with us. There's a lot of harm reduction out there that looks at us almost as if we're the elephant in the room and over-dramatizing the situation. But we'd love to sit at the same tables with you and have conversations, because we might not get it all right working together, but we could at least work on making some kind of, or putting some types of solutions together that may help some people. So we don't have to agree on everything to be able to help people. There are clearly people on all sides of the aisle, right? That a little bit of some solutions from harm reduction and from affected family members and from government, all those things can work. We just have to be open to sitting together and working towards solutions. So anybody that doesn't totally agree with the work that we're doing, please contact us. We're willing to listen and we're willing to work with you if we can see that it is going to make a positive impact.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mary.
Send me all the links and I'll put them in the show notes.
Great.
And I'm just so grateful that you're here and you're there for all the families who came before us and come after us. So thank you again, Andrea. I look forward to seeing you at some point. Who knows, maybe in
Thank you.
New
Yes. We'll save a special spot for you. We hope to see you there or talk to you
York.
at least around that time and let you know what that's looking like. So I appreciate you, Mary, always. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
You too.
Bye-bye.